Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Simon's mother-in-law, she isn't well. She's been running a fever. Literally, she's burning up pyrisso. And well, we have no idea what is ailing her. We get to see something far more important than what's ailing Simon's mother-in-law in our text. We get to see how Jesus reacts to her need. Often, I believe, we are afraid to ask God for His aid. Sometimes I believe it's because we think He's too busy or that it's not quite important enough to Him. And yet today we see in our text that Jesus indeed is never too busy for our needs. What we see in the text is Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, through whom the heavens and earth were created, the very Messiah, cares not only for His disciples, but even those that they care about. Which is good news for us, because, well, He has called us all to be His disciples and made us all heirs of the kingdom of heaven, His very family that is forgiven in the waters of baptism. To cure her, all Jesus needs to do is reach down and touch her. Take her by the hand. You see, that's as simple as it gets. The wages of sin, that is death and its precursor diseases, must flee in the presence of the Holy One of God. This healing may not seem important. I mean, not all of those who are demon-possessed and diseased people who will be crowding the doorway and flooding the front lawn at that evening after sundown when the Sabbath is over. But it is. It's very important because it shows our Lord's compassion on all who are in need. It's compassion on the weak and weary is part of His teaching that comes with authority. Authority enough to cast out demons and heal Simon's mother-in-law and forgive your sins this day. So in the text, news spreads. This rabbi who teaches with authority that we heard about earlier is now the one who heals Simon's mother-in-law. And in Mark type speaking, immediately at sundown, everybody shows up. It's probably looking like a disaster area on Simon's front lawn as the sick and possessed are brought to Jesus. Imagine the scene, if you will. People being carried on mats, draped over shoulders, and demon-possessed people swearing and frothing at the mouth, even convulsing, as we heard about the man in the synagogue earlier that morning. So the text tells us, that evening at sundown, they brought to Him all who were sick and oppressed by demons. The whole city was gathered together at the door, and He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and He would not permit the demons to even speak because they knew Him. And while Jesus could have simply said, "Be healed," and everybody there would have been healed, He is, after all, true God in flesh. He has chosen a much more personal approach to things. A hands-on attempt, in fact. He healed their diseases and silenced and cast out the demons, showing His personal care for all. You might be asking, why silence the demons? It could be good advertising. But Jesus wasn't going to let a bunch of demons telling everyone who He is in their effort to thwart Him from going to the cross get away with it. His time had not yet come. His time now is to be the good physician, healing and casting out unclean spirits with little more than a touch and a word. As it got later in the evening, the crowd must have died down. And so Jesus was able to get some sleep. He rose early in the morning before the crowd started up again, as you know that they would. So Jesus slips away into a quiet place to pray, some quiet time with his Father to have peace. But Simon and the others found him because to our flesh, popularity seems much more important than peace. They come to Jesus and they say, "Everyone is looking for you." You know the experience that there's no end to the diseased and the demonized in this side of heaven. Most seniors, as I do shut-in visits and nursing home visits and hospital visits, will tell you if they didn't have doctor's appointments, they wouldn't have much of a social schedule at all during the week. And I do want to pause here to give a precursor to why I threw this ancient heresy in here. But I figure if I don't kick it while it's down, it might come back. But if you're wearing your WWJD question mark bracelet or t-shirt or Bible cover, and you've asked the question, what would Jesus do? Please note that the text is going to throw you a massive curveball right now. Because James and Simon and Andrew and James and John are standing there saying, "Everybody's looking for you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Let's go to the next town." Come on, that's not the "what would Jesus do" we know, right? That's right. It's the "what would Jesus do" that the Bible reveals. And at this point, the sinful flesh would question God, thoughtlessly asking, "Why didn't he just heal everybody? How can Jesus just leave all those diseased and demon-possessed people behind in Capernaum? Why doesn't he wipe out all diseases and demon possessions in Capernaum? And while he's at it, why doesn't he do that for the entire world?" And if that's what you and your worldly comforters are asking, then you're not considering what Jesus came to do. You see, he came to do just that. He came to take away the sin of the world, which includes the demons, the death, and the diseases. But it wasn't going to happen at Capernaum. It happens at Golgotha, on a Roman cross, with his sinless death. And contrary to the false teachers of our days, Jesus didn't come to give you your best life now. Sorry, another heretic kicked. Jesus comes to redeem and restore all creation, and preaching and teaching is the important part of his plan. Jesus declared earlier in Mark's gospel, in verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." You see, all the miracles and all the casting out of demons are signs of the new creation that is to come. Signs of the resurrection. A glimpse of that perfect paradise that awaits all who believe. This is what we pray for every time we pray, "Thy kingdom come." And this kingdom comes even without our prayers, but we know from the small catechism that we pray that it may come to us also, and we know God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives His Holy Spirit so that His grace, so that by His grace we believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. But you see, it's preaching, not healing, that is Jesus' priority. You see, real preaching turns you inside out and upside down. Our sinful flesh expects all the wrong things from God's church and from her pastors. Our flesh wants band-aids from God, even though it is much more than a flesh wound that we have. We want a heaven on earth pill to be coated with chocolate so it goes down nice and easy. We want microwave fixes for our spouses and our children and our co-workers, and if necessary, I guess, for myself. The flesh asks, "Give me something and make me healthy, wealthy, and wise, and I'll take an extra dose of the wealthy part." And we do so without that whole fear of the Lord stuff being the beginning of wisdom stuff. The flesh wants answers to our perplexing questions and solutions to our stubborn problems that don't involve repenting, dying to self, and receiving absolution. Answers and miracles, you see, are the stuff of fleshly, flashy religion. And there's always a price, and that price is the gift of peace gets lost. Because when the flesh doesn't get the answers or miracles that it's looking for, the flesh will go looking somewhere else. The flesh will wander from religion to religion, from church to church, from preacher to preacher, and even from God to God, seeking after answers and miracles that itching ears want. Jesus instead offers His Word proclaimed, the law proclaimed with all its fierceness. Because of our sins, you know as well as I do, we deserve death and eternal damnation if you at all took your confession this morning seriously. The law then must be proclaimed, or the gospel will be ignored or assumed and seen as totally unnecessary. But once the law has done its job, the gospel must be given. It must follow with the gifts of sweet peace and freedom. Your sins and my sins are forgiven by the grace of God through faith in the person and works of Jesus Christ alone. Through the preaching of God's Word and the administration of His sacraments, we are healed whether we feel better or not. Do you believe this? That is, after all, the faith question. This is faith. For where sins are forgiven, and life and salvation is ours now and for eternity. Demon possessions and diseases are part of the fall into sin. And they point us to the results of sin, which is death. So when we pray for health and when we pray for healing, that prayer is always answered yes in Jesus. The only thing we don't know and can't ever say is when and how. Perhaps you might be well blessed like, well, Simon's mother-in-law and simply rise up from your sickbed. And then you'll want to go into the kitchen, apparently, and make something for everybody else to eat. Or maybe it'll take months or years. Or maybe you'll just die. But for the Christian, this day of your death you've been prepared for. Because you've been dying and rising with Christ every day. We call this living in our baptism. We call this the Christian faith. You see, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, He took all creation with Him. On the cross, Jesus bore our sins and all its effects, the sickness, the frailties, the weakness. In His death and resurrection, Jesus defeats the devil, the demons, and death itself for us. And if Jesus leaves a few devils lurking around to cause some chaos, or a few diseases uncured, the victory still remains. Jesus joins Himself to us through His Word and His sacraments, taking our sins and death and giving us forgiveness, and where there is forgiveness, life and salvation. Please, dear friends in Christ, don't let your eyes rob your ears of the truth of the peace that Jesus brings for you now. You see, and this is something we don't often think about when we read texts like this with these miracle healings. But Simon's mother-in-law died. Otherwise, she'd have a church set up somewhere and telling everybody about Jesus. Not that she would be a pastor, but she would be telling everybody about Jesus. Matter of fact, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they all died too. And all the demon-possessed and all the sick that were brought to Jesus on Simon's lawn, they died too. And one day you and I will die if the Lord doesn't return first. And on our deathbeds or in our grave, Jesus will simply reach down to you, as He did with Simon's mother-in-law, and take you by the hand and raise you up out of that grave. And there you will receive life and in everlasting. And there, all the prayers for health and all the prayers for healing that have ever been uttered for us, and all the prayers for others, and that others prayed for us, you will see the answer is most definitely yes. For it is in Jesus that you are healed. And it is in Jesus that you have life and it eternal. And it is in Jesus that all our prayers receive their amen. You see, Jesus hears our sighs, our groanings, our prayers. He heard them and he has already done something about them. He died and rose on the third day, as we confess today. And he took us with him in his baptism, as we die and rise with him each day. And so he will take us to be with him for all eternity on the last day. And this is our peace, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.